How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hi, I'm Terry Schmidt, a registered dietitian and host of On Nutrition, a podcast from Mayo Clinic where we dig into the latest nutrition trends and research to help you understand what's health and what's hype. There's a lot of wild stuff out there, so we'll be keeping it science-based, research-informed, and practical. Mayo Clinic's On Nutrition, new episodes every other week, wherever you get your podcasts.
Anyone who lives in Miami-Dade knows that someone moving from New York to South Florida doesn't exactly make the news. For decades now, Miami has earned its reputation as the sixth borough. According to data from the Census Bureau, New York has topped the list for sending its residents to Florida since 2016. But there was one New Yorker who broke the mold, and so significant to American pop culture that he was simply known as the Great One. But he earned another nickname over the course of his life. And that was the King of Miami Beach. And when the Great Gleason Express rolled into Miami, it irrevocably changed the landscape of South Florida and American television. And that happened today. This day in Miami history. August 3rd, 1964, when Jackie Gleason and his Great Gleason Express rolled into Miami from New York City.
The high times and low times, all in the
Herbert Walton Gleason, Jr. was born on February 26, 1916, in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. But he was baptized John Herbert Gleason, which led to his devout Catholic mother, May, calling him Jackie. His childhood was marked by tragedy, including the death of his brother Clement in 1919, and his father abandoning the family just before Christmas in 1925. Jackie's mother died when he was 19, and the young Gleason, already a performer to help his mother make ends meet, fully committed to a life of performance. By the 1960s, however, Gleason was no longer the tragic boy from Bed-Stuy. He was arguably the most famous man in America. He had received an Academy Awards nomination for Best Supporting Actor thanks to his role as Minnesota Fats in The Hustler. He defeated Anthony Perkins, Robert Morse, and Annie Griffith to claim the 1960 Tony Award for Best Performance by an Actor in a Leading Role in a Musical for his performance in Take Me Along.
When I left the place, the boss's face looked like it was dipped in trouble. He says to me, how about a 10-buck raise? And I says, how about double?
Gleason was a classic performer in the sense of the word. But movies and theater were not his dominant medium. It was television. Gleason's first major role was as Chester A. Riley in a television adaptation of the radio comedy, The Life of Riley, and he played some other roles. But there was one television job that he took that changed the course of his life forever, and that was his participation in The Cavalcade of Stars.
Let's get on with The Cavalcade of Stars. And here he is, the star of our show, Jackie Gleason!
The program started on the Dumont Network, part of the original Big Three of broadcast television, with the National Broadcasting Company and the Columbia Broadcasting System. But Dumont couldn't compete with the more established NBC and CBS, which had their starts on radio. CBS chairman William Paley made Jackie an offer he couldn't refuse, and the newly christened The Jackie Gleason Show moved to the Tiffany Network, CBS. It was on CBS that Gleason would take a sketch from his Cavalcade program and turn it into one of the most iconic programs in television history.
Jackie Gleason, The Honeymooners.
It's hard to overstate how important The Honeymooners was in the formation of early American broadcast television. It pioneered the sitcom. Though it only ran for 39 episodes, it led to innumerable spin-offs in foreign countries over the following decades, as well as influencing The Flintstones, which, to be quite honest, was basically just an animated ripoff of The Honeymooners set in prehistoric times. On the occasion of its 50th anniversary, TV Guide prepared a list of the 50 greatest TV shows of all time, and The Honeymooners and its 39 episodes were in third, behind Seinfeld and I Love Lucy. I Love Lucy aired simultaneously on CBS as The Honeymooners did, and so it often takes a lot of the early television attention away. But Ed and Trixie Norton and Ralph and Alice Cramden were iconic characters, and specifically Gleason's voice as Cramden just can't be forgotten.
You are a blabbermouth!
By the early 1960s, Jackie Gleason was television. He had programs go on and off the air, but he was really a fixture at CBS. And by 1962, a new version of a Jackie Gleason variety show was on the air. The American Scene magazine was designed as a telemagazine program that presented an opportunity for Gleason to bust out old characters but introduce new acts. To celebrate his return to television, Gleason convinced CBS to launch a cross-country train ride called the Great Gleason Express that would run from Los Angeles to New York City and stop in cities along the way to promote the new program. Why a train? Gleason was afraid of flying. He had a near-death experience on an early flight, and from that point on, he was very reticent to hop on an airplane, preferring the travel of train. After two successful seasons with American Scene magazine, Gleason decided to test the limits of his power. He went to CBS and asked for the show to be moved outside of New York City. He wanted someplace new. He felt like he could make something uniquely himself. And he picked Miami Beach. Did Jackie's show move to Miami Beach because of his pioneer spirit? Sure. Did it move to Miami Beach because he had a deep love for golf and there were dozens of golf courses available to him throughout South Florida? Absolutely.
I think Jackie gets nervous around the city working. He works hard. And he's become a golf buff. And he likes to play the game. And being in New York City, he can't play when he's working. Golf relaxes him, where he works hard in the shows and works hard as a business venture. And I think that's the most important reason is because he'll be able to play golf. In fact, he's going to live right on the golf course. Chimney Cricket says no reason for him to do that. He could live in a hotel, but no, he wants to be close to the golf course where he goes. And I promise you, Miami's going to see a great golfer. At least what he tells me that. I can't say that.
That was the voice of Toot Shore, famous New York restaurateur and one of Jackie Gleason's closest friends. Whether it was the weather, the golf, the opportunity, that didn't matter. The show was on for Miami Beach, and the Great Gleason Express would roll again. That audio you heard was a famous Gleason interstitial, but also played at the beginning of a WTVJ special entitled The Great Gleason Express. TVJ was the CBS affiliate in Miami at this time. And Gleason's program aired on WTVJ when it was produced in New York and now when it was being produced on Miami Beach. The TVJ special, anchored by the legendary Ralph Renick, was a glossy portrait of the trip from New York to Miami, indicating fun and frivolity, but not letting on the full picture of the 24-hour experience that was the Great Gleason Express. Gleason gave a little bit more insight to Morley Safer in a 60-minute interview recorded in 1984.
What was on that train?
Everything. We had two Dixieland bands come from California, and they would spell each other. I'd say to them, take 5 miles. and the parties went on 24. I found out that I couldn't attend the parties.
Were there girls on that train?
Were there girls? There certainly were. And they were very, very nice girls. Nothing untoward happened. I know that sounds ridiculous, but it didn't. Might have been because the berths were too small. But regardless of that, nothing happened on that trip.
And was there a bar on that train?
A bar on the train was a bar.
You can hear the swagger in his voice. 20 years later, knowing that that train ride was truly a peak of his powers. The train pulled into Miami on August 3rd, 1964. And the crowds were full. It's really a remarkable scene. It's almost like a presidential inauguration parade, or a king rolling through the streets of his capital city. People are lined on both sides. He's in an antique car being escorted by police, and people are just sticking their hands into the car, and Jackie is returning with handshakes for everyone. A lit cigar in his left hand, the hands of the city of Miami in and out of his right.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Again, Jackie Gleason was more than just a celebrity at this point in Miami. He was remaking the city just by showing up. Eventually, the ruckus would die down. Jackie, his crew, and the performers would get settled into Miami, and there was, after all, a show to perform. And that's what Jackie and the cast of American Scene magazine worked to do. And in order for all of this to happen, there needed to be a studio. Miami had not been a hotbed of television throughout the 1950s. There were a few programs, and particularly in the 1960s, the Ivan Torres Studios was very important in getting some Miami-based programs on the air, but nothing like a live program that Gleason was proposing to have week after week after week. And the city of Miami Beach, in seeking to be accommodating to bringing this program to South Florida, took the Miami Beach Auditorium, what's now part of the Miami Beach Convention Center complex, and converted it into television studios. This is Joe Abrell of WTVJ reporting in 1964.
We're in the lobby of the new home of the Jackie Gleason Show. You probably know it as the Miami Beach Auditorium. Yet it's been transformed into a television facility as fine as any in the country. Just beyond those doors lies really another world of television entertainment. The seats are still empty, but not for long. There's a great deal to be done before this Sunday's first taping.
Finally, just about a month and a half after Gleason rolled into Miami, the first episode of American Scene magazine from Miami Beach aired on CBS on September 26th, 1964.
From Miami Beach, the sun and fun capital of the world, it's the Jackie Gleason Show and his American Scene magazine. This portion brought to you by...
The reception was impossible for Gleason to ignore.
I have never been treated as nicely, as royally,
and as affectionately as I have been here in Miami Beach.
Now, I know that sounds just like celebrity pablum, and maybe it was when Jackie was saying it in 1964, experiencing the natural high of the welcome to Miami. But I think what's most interesting about this move from Gleason is ultimately not the show. The show comes in 1964, it's canceled in 1970, and it definitely leaves a mark on American pop culture. But the ways that Jackie Gleason changed South Florida go well beyond television. First off, there's the Gulf. As we heard earlier, Gleason moved onto a house on Miami Beach that was steps away from the Miami Beach Country Club. But eventually, a house near the golf course wasn't enough. He wanted to be intimately familiar with the golf scene here. But that wouldn't be enough. Eventually, Gleason would buy a multi-acre home adjoining the Country Club of Miami in Hialeah. He also hosted events at the Doral Country Club and, most famously, the Jackie Gleason Inverary Classic at Inverary Golf Course in Fort Lauderdale. That eventually became the Honda Classic.
Well, the pros will be Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Billy Casper, and all the other wonderful guys. We'll have Bob Hope and Glenn Campbell and several other celebrities who don't come to mind at the present. But it's going to be a great tournament.
What about Gary Player? Now, he usually starts this time of the year. Is
Gary Player, he'll be here.
He attempted to bind the community together during the Vietnam War in an effort to raise funds for the USO and the Red Cross.
I know it would be possible to call a few wealthy friends in Miami and get the deficit needed, but I don't think that would be as important as getting many, many contributors to give the soldier a vote of confidence, as well as a generous gesture. So I am suggesting that as many people as can, and as quickly as possible, because we have until Tuesday, I believe, before the fund closes. I think as many people as possible should put small donations, 50 cents, a dime, a nickel, a penny, a buck, or whatever you've got. And because there is such short time, whatever the deficit is between what you send in and what is needed, I'll try to cover that.
Jackie brought movie productions to South Florida, including portions of Smokey and the Bandit 3, which were filmed at the Hialeah Speedway. You can hear Gleason here discussing a chase scene.
All right, the first thing we do is go through the fire.
The fire. You come
get
onto
a metal
the track.
Line and wooden head.
It became clear over the later portion of his life that the move to Miami, which may have just been a show of power and a desire for some more sunny golf days, became something more. Jackie Gleason became part of the community. He wanted to see Miami do well, not just for the purpose of his show. After all, it was gone after 1970. He wanted to see South Florida do well. Jackie didn't get 50 or 60 years in Miami. He died on June 24, 1987, at age 71, less than 25 years after he made the move. He was a heavy smoker and drinker, reportedly smoking as much as 6 packs of cigarettes a day in the 1950s. He required a triple bypass in the 1970s and was diagnosed with colon cancer in 1986. It spread to his liver, and that was the end of Jackie Gleason. He was given a funeral mass at the Cathedral of St. Mary on Northwest 2nd Avenue and buried in an outdoor mausoleum at Our Lady of Mercy Catholic Cemetery in Doral. Perhaps you've seen the cemetery from the turnpike heading either north or south near Dolphin Mall. The large sarcophagus within the mausoleum has a very simple message engraved on the top. His name, his birth year, his death year, and 4 words, perhaps his most famous 4 words.
And away we go!
Out As always, I want to thank the sourcing necessary for this episode, the Wolfson Archive, even more than usual. So helpful with this. They have so much Jackie Gleason stuff, so much that I didn't even get to, that if you're interested in the great one, in the King of Miami Beach, just pop the name Jackie Gleason into the old Wolfson Archive search and carve out a couple of days for yourself. Secondly, Life Magazine actually said a lot on Jackie Gleason over the years, and that was very helpful. The 60 Minutes Archives, you heard the interview there with Morley Safer. That was kind of the behind the scenes of the great Gleason Railway making its way down to South Florida. That was really fascinating to hear his perspective on it after a couple of decades. Those are really the three biggest sources that I kind of turned to for this episode. And you can hear it with the volume of audio clips that I was able to dig out of archives. I do want to thank, outside of the normal sourcing, I want to thank Carolina Del Busto of the Miami New Times, who wrote a very flattering, very kind article about this day for the New Times that published a couple of days ago and actually referenced this episode in it. So thank you very much to Carolina and to the New Times. The New Times is always such a great place for news, arts, and culture, and just interesting stuff. So it's quite a treat to be featured there. And as always, I want to thank you, the listeners of This Day in Miami History. This has been an episode that's been on my list for about 3 years now, so I'm finally happy to get around to it and talk a little bit about the great one migrating south to Miami. So that'll do it for this episode. We will see you again next month, if not sooner. Definitely next month. And until next time, I've been Matthew Bunch. The high times and low times, all in the nightlife.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.